Hey, good evening, everybody. Oh, got my hat. Welcome to Into the Night with Sean Kelly. Hey, Cindy Simpson, good to see you. Welcome to my show, Into the Night with Sean Kelly, here on the Sunday Night Edition. And first of all, I need to thank UPRN Talk Radio for allowing me to share an hour of my show. Hey, Foxy Joe, good to see you. Share an hour with you. Hey, Michael, good to see you, buddy. And so now that I got the frog out of my throat, but I am on UPRN Talk Radio, 105.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi. Also, I need to tell you what's coming up. April 6th, we are having that open investigation for all paranormal groups. And for individuals who want to go and do an investigation, it will be at the Dudas Farm this Saturday coming up. The address is 157 Creek Road, Brownsville, PA. And so this Tuesday, on the 2nd of April, I'm going to have my friend Roy White, come back on, and he's going to bring along one of the owners of the farm, Mark Duda, and they're going to share some of the paranormal stuff that's going on down there on the farm so people can get a kind of like an idea on what is happening down there. So, you know, just give you a little bit of insight. Personally, me, I'd rather go into a place, you know, cold and trying to find something or whatever is going on there. Let's see what else. Right after my show at 9:10, my friend Sean Patrick Hazlett, his show is Through a Glass Darkly Radio, and he's on right after me. Sean, he co-hosts with me sometimes, or all the time, on Friday night's Joe show, news on the flip side. That's at 10 o'clock on the same station here. So how was everybody's Easter? I had a great Easter. Of course, I had to work, but I didn't mind it. Not too many people at work. So, you know, I got a lot done today. Came home and I made a nice ham for dinner tonight. And everything was like really, really, really cool. And I hope everyone had some good ham tonight. Or if you don't eat ham, I know a lot of people, they like to eat turkey because we sold a lot of turkeys today. And of course, you got to have the hard-boiled eggs. But so my thing tonight, random thoughts and Easter traditions. You know, I'm not going to really get into the random thoughts tonight because as I was doing some research, I found on this thing, Foxy Joe, he spent his Easter on the couch with terrible flu symptoms. Horrible. Sorry to hear that, brother. But I was a little disappointed in the White House today. Okay. And I know this is, I'm not going to be political for a long time tonight. I'm not. But I read to where the White House would not allow, you know, no religious themes today. I'm glad you had an amazing Easter, Cindy. I'm glad you did. And so it's like no religious, nothing about Easter or the word resurrection. I was a little disappointed. If you can, please Google that. It was just disturbing, you know. And there is a major holiday for the people who are trans. And I don't knock you. I really don't. But it's your day today. But for the White House to stop and, like, I don't even know if they did the Easter icon. I'm not sure. But they weren't allowed to hold no religious things. Can't say the word resurrection, you know, anything holy. So it's like, What the hell? What the hell? Okay. It's the rebirth, Michael says. Well, hopefully that rebirth, you know, goes down in November when hopefully we get another president in. I'm sure we will, but that's for that. And now the second thing about, you know, this boat ramming into this big ass barge loaded with all kinds of stuff that hit the bridge down in Baltimore. You know, Michael says we can make it to national event. But come on, you know, there is just so much crap that does not fit, that does not sound right in that picture about that damn ship hitting into that bridge. You know, I mean, I worked on the towboats down in Pittsburgh, you know, and it's hard. It's hard to imagine that this, but there's just so much crap going on. Yeah, there's more. One in Oklahoma, and there was another one. I forget where that one was. The bridge was burning. But you know what? This is ridiculous. You know, it's why? Why? People aren't dumb. But, and what was I just reading? Silverstein or Silverstone, whatever, some guy. He put a $1 billion insurance on that Baltimore bridge, so he's collecting. So and it's just ridiculous, you know. Is it possible that they're pulling all the punches before the election coming up? I don't know, but you know, stay vigilant, everybody. Just be careful, man. And then all the crap going on with April 8th with that, you know, that solar eclipse or whatever the hell they want to call it. You know, personally, me, I just think the moon's going to cross the sun's path and it's going to be dark for 4 minutes. That's the way I look at it. But there could be other things going on with it. I don't know. But that's basically my random thoughts. I was just venting there for a little bit, you know. Hey, Mark Eddie, good to see you, bud. So, you know, it's just like they're making it biblical. Okay. They're making, huh. I can see that. I can see what they're doing on that, Michael. Yeah, I can. By the way, my friend Michael Anthony, he has a show too. Would you care to put it in, you know, the chat room here, Michael, so everybody he'll set up. That's cool. But Michael Anthony, he's been on me a lot of times on my show, and he's very knowledgeable in all kinds of stuff like that. But you know, as I was like doing some research tonight, I came across this ranker.com. I don't know if anybody heard of it. And they have like Easter traditions. And I was reading all of them and I'm thinking, this is freaking crazy. And so I figured I'd share it with you. Yeah, I'll share it with you. Now, the first one, maybe they can get away with it over there in the Czech Republic. They sure as hell can't get away with it here in the United States. But the very first is a practice over in Czech Republic, and it's called Easter whipping. Easter whipping, okay? And they claim that no one gets hurt in this Czech tradition of Easter whipping. It's a playful practice. Now, here's the deal. The tradition dates back to at least the 14th century. This is crazy, dude. Wait till I tell you all this crap. Includes boys crafting whips by braiding thin willow rods together and then tying bright ribbons on the end on the Monday after Easter. the boys will likely hit girls. The boys will likely hit girls with their homemade whips, with the idea that it will keep the girls healthy, fertile, and beautiful until the next Easter celebration. All I know is if one of a guy or somebody came and, you know, likely whipped the girl, if I, you know, when she answers her door, I can guarantee it, dudes, you know, that dude would be in jail. But they say it's a tradition. So what happens is, so they go to the house, and when the girl opens up the door, the boys give them a whipping. You know, any woman that opens the door gets a whip. And it's supposed to excite their endorphins. That's possible. Michael Anthony rocks. He sure does. Michael Anthony rocks Foxy Joe. Yes, he does. But then after the woman gets a receiving end of the whipping, the woman is required to give the boy a chocolate or decorated egg as thank you. Oh, my God. Holy crap. Seriously. I don't think that would kind of like happen here, even if it was out of fun or jest or tradition. I mean, you know, the jail cells will be open a lot for this Easter tradition. If it came here from the United States, from the Czech Republic. Now, this one, I'm not a little bit too sure yet. It says here, Martin Luther likely organized the first Easter egg hunt. Okay. It's a classic Easter tradition, you know, Easter egg hunt, when the eggs are hidden around, you know, the yards for the little ones to find. They got, you know, money in them, they got candy in them, they got little toys in them, you know, but, and they think that Martin Luther organized the Easter egg hunts, in which the men, you know, had the, for the children of the congregation. This is said to have symbolized how women found Jesus's empty tomb in the Bible. Okay. Additionally, Queen Victoria quite enjoyed the Easter egg hunts her mother, who was German, would set up for her, and she helped make it more mainstream in Britain and beyond. Around this time, fake eggs containing treats and toys replaced real eggs. Then in 1878, Rutherford B. Hayes hosted the first Easter egg roll at the White House, and now it's an annual tradition. So, how many of we all been on Easter egg hunts? I know I did them when I was young, you know, and I really enjoyed doing it when I was young, but as I got older, I couldn't fathom it unless there was money involved in the fake Easter eggs. That's the way I would do it. But you know, it's crazy. It is the 21st century, and it doesn't seem like people hold that anymore. You know, if they do, God bless them, but it just does not seem as popular as it used to be. I know Dormont Park had a big Easter egg hunt for the kids of Dormont. And other places like that, but you don't see them advertised. You don't see nobody talking about it. And I think the old ways are going away. It's all about brand new shit, you know. I am getting old, you know, but when I was raised, okay, I might sound like an old man here, but when I was raised, you did these Easter egg hunts. You got the chocolate bunnies. You got a basket from the Easter bunny. And I always look forward to Easter bunny baskets because I got some pretty cool stuff in it. The eggs, I always got a good toy. And always got a hollow rabbit chocolate rabbit. Now, here's the deal behind that. Okay, it's in one of these things here. The reason why, now this is crazy. Oh, it's good thinking, but the reason why they made chocolate bunnies hollow is so you don't break your teeth on I can definitely see that. But we got a full chocolate bunny and we just smashed it with a hammer or something like that. I don't know if anybody else has done that. Anybody listening tonight, if you have any Easter traditions. Foxy Joe says we had a fantastic bringing up. Yes, we did, Joe. Yes, we did. I mean, it wasn't hardcore. I mean, you broke the rules, man. You got your ass smacked. I mean, no questions asked. And from your neighbors if you did something wrong. And then you get home and then you get smacked by your parents. You know what I mean? But today, you just can't do that. You know, it's sad. But hey, who knows what's going to happen in the 22nd? I don't know if I'm going to be here or not. Like, I don't know what's happening. But, you know, I see the children today. I see. Hey, Joe, good to see you. Good to see you, Joe. And, you know, it's like also the Easter clothes. Yes. How many times? Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, you had to get the suit jacket, the tie. You know, and the pants and the good shoes. But here's the secret behind that, Cindy, and I just found this by through reading, is that the reason why women wore Easter bonnets, okay, was to show people how rich they were. So that's why they wore Easter bonnets. Just to like show society, hey, we're big and rich and we got all this. Yeah, I read that and I was like, huh, interesting. But you know what? Today I do see, I don't see it, not as much as I used to, but you know, there was a lot of families that came in shopping today. And yes, they were all dressed. So dressed up for, you know, and I'm guaranteed they came from church. But you know what? It's just not like it was before. You know, we had a lot of fun, especially decorating the eggs. Who remembers doing that? Your mom would make hard boiled eggs for like 2 dozen of them, and then after they were done, then you set up your newspaper and you got the egg dyes and you made your own eggs. I thought that was so cool. You know, I really enjoyed doing that. Has anyone ever had an Easter egg, a hard-boiled Easter egg, where the dye actually seeped through the shell? And you know, you get a blue egg, and you're like, okay, you crack it open, and there's your egg's blue. Foxy Joe says, I couldn't wait to see the Easter Sunday girls at church all dressed up. Okay. My virgin eyes, my virgin eyes. Yeah. But going to a Catholic school back then, I remember every Friday I went to a little school called St. Bernard's. And I remember Friday we would have a half a day. And hey, Roy, good to see you, pal. Thank you for coming. Oh, everybody, Roy, who just said, yes, sir, he's going to be my guest. Him and Mark Duda is going to be on this Tuesday coming up. But, oh God, but half days on Fridays. But we had to go to church and do the Stations of the Cross. I don't know if anybody knows what those are all about, but you spent the whole afternoon in church doing the stations, you know, in the Catholic school. So I don't know if they do that tradition now, but, you just couldn't wait to get out. And we always had pizza on Friday. So it was pretty cool. So back to the list here. Schools were off all week this week. Yes, they were, John. I remember that. Our spring break. Now, here's an interesting one, everybody. Mom still attends. Oh, she does, Foxy. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Hey, the next time she goes to church, if you tell her to say a little prayer for me, you know, just just to say a little prayer, just keep me right. Number three, the Germans may have brought the idea of an egg-laying rabbit to America in the 1700s. Yeah. Thank you, Joe. There is likely a tie to a pagan tradition here, as rabbits are known as symbols of fertility. But the Easter Bunny we're familiar with today likely came from the German immigrants who settled in Pennsylvania in the 1700s with them. They brought the tale of Osterhaus, an egg-laying hare. In these families, the children would build nests for the Osterhaus where it could lay its colorful eggs. Over time, the idea caught on, and now we've replaced nests with brightly decorated Easter baskets to hold the Easter Bunny's gift. And ladies and gentlemen, I did not know that until right now. So that's where the Easter basket came from. Ah, from the Germans in the 1700s. That's I never knew that. Is anybody out there in the chat or out there that ever heard of that? About the Germans bringing over that rabbit. But yeah, now I can understand that, because you got to put the fake grass into the Easter basket, you know, and then you got your stuff. So open my eyes for that one. It says here, number four, Christians began painting Easter eggs as a Lenten tradition. Did anyone ever paint any eggs? I never did. But I've seen a lot. Yeah, they look beautiful. It says here, if you celebrated Easter as a child, you can likely remember the excitement from seeing any array of food coloring set out to dye Easter eggs. But how did the dying eggs, D-Y-I-N-G, become associated with a holiday about crucifixion? The tradition for drawing on the eggs has pagan roots to it. Eggs have long been a symbol of a new life, particularly back in the ancient days of celebrating springtime. Some people say eggs represent Jesus's resurrection, as well as another form of rebirth. Ah, now I can see where Mike's coming from by saying it's a rebirth. The tradition of actually decorating eggs goes all the way back to the 13th century. Around this time, people weren't allowed to eat eggs during the Lenten season, so painting them marked the end of the penance. Then on Easter Day, they would celebrate by feasting on the colorful eggs. This idea could have been made popular by King Edward I of England, who had 450 eggs colored and decorated with gold leaf, then presented to his guests as presents for Easter. Across the world, one of the most popular colors to dye one's egg is red, often to symbolize the blood of Jesus. Let's see, I didn't know that. Did anybody out there know it? Hey, happy Easter, Beth. Good to see you. Thank you for popping in. Okay, Jamar, if you're in the room, she sent a link about, I don't know what it's about. I don't want to screw up my computer thing, but I'll check it out later on. Now, here's an interesting one, everybody. Easter fires chase away the darkness of winter. That was interesting. See what this has to say. Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. Jamar says it explains the goddesses, rabbit, etc. Okay, thank you. Easter fires are common in Europe and can range from bonfires to small candle displays at home. The flames can represent many things, chasing away the darkness of winter or simply being a light from any kind of darkness. There is another connection to Jesus here, as he was known as the light of the world. The origins of the Easter fires predate Christianity. However, as the Anglo-Saxons used to light fires in April to honor the goddess Ostara, Here the goal was to usher in spring and banish winter, with the ashes representing renewal and rebirth after the fire was put out. The Anglo-Saxons would spread the ashes on their fields to promote growth and a good harvest. I'm glad you're learning something tonight, Foxy Joe. I'm glad you are, because I am too. Because some of this, I've never thought about it. You know, to be honest with you, when I read about Easter fires, I never heard of such a thing about that. And I just find it pretty, pretty interesting. But hey, listen, everybody, I'm going to go to a break for 70 seconds. So if you need to go have a cigarette, go to the bathroom, do what you got to do. I will be back in 70 seconds. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the second half of the show, Into the Night, with me, Sean Kelly. I am on UPRN Talk Radio, 105.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi. April 6th, this Saturday coming up, we are having that open investigation at the Duda Farms down in Brownsville, Pennsylvania. This Tuesday, April 2nd, I'm going to have my friend Roy White and Mark Duda, who owns the farm, and they're going to be on the show. And what they're going to do is they're going to hopefully, you know, tell us of some of the paranormal events going down there. Some people have come up and asked me, you know, or sent me a message wondering, well, what's the status going on down there? And so that's why I'm bringing them on. And I'm really excited to have Mark Duda come on, because he is the owner, and I'm really looking forward to what he has to say. My friend Sean Patrick Hazlett, right after me, 9:10, his show is Through a Glass Darkly Radio. Okay, his starts at 9:10, and I think it's a two-hour show, but he co-hosts with me on Friday nights at 10 to 1. The news on the flip side with Joe Montel then. So back to the show. So in the first half, we were talking about some Easter traditions in different places. And like my friend Foxy Joe said, he's learning stuff tonight, and I'm kind of learning stuff too. Now, Jamar wrote in the chat room, Easter is where the term, I don't know how to pronounce that, is where the term Easter comes. Nikoti, I guess, is the number one cat products company from Japan. Okay. Thank you for sharing that, Jamar. I have to look into that, because I cannot pronounce those names. I'm sorry. But so as we were going through the traditions and stuff like that, and I have about five more to go. I hope everyone had a nice Easter, and I hope you had a lot of ham to eat and, you know, colored some eggs and stuff like that. So the last thing we stopped with was the Easter fires, and it you know, the Anglo-Saxons, they would light fires and, you know, and burn, and the ashes they would spread all over their fields to promote growth and a good harvest this year. I don't know about what's going on with the with the farms going on. Let me tell you about a dream I had. And Michael, if you're still on, I'd like to hear this. Like to hear this one. I had a dream that I built a garden in my backyard. Okay. And then one day I come back from work and there's all kinds of guys in suits standing in my backyard. And here they were preventing me from having a garden. It was crazy. It was insane. Like, you can't do that. You got to buy off of this person. You got to buy off of that person. I'm thinking, holy crap. But it was a dream. You know, it was like almost freaking real. But that I just thought I'd share that with you. But like I told you before, the chocolate, this is number six, chocolate bunnies are hollow to prevent from your for from breaking your teeth. But I like the whole chocolate ones. Everybody who the four people who are in the chat room tonight, do you like solid chocolate or do you like the hollow out chocolate bunnies? It'd be nice to know what you think. Easter candy, particularly chocolate bunnies, are as much a ritual of Easter as anything else. But many of us can remember the disappointment that came from biting into that brown cocoa ear, only to realize you like the solid? There you go. Me too, brother. I like the solid. Turns out that there is a very specific reason for this. If chocolaters made the bunny solid, they would be hard as a rock. Of course, they're going to be hard as a rock. Overzealous kids would even chip a tooth on the treat if they weren't careful. Like I said, we used to take a hammer and smash them all up. Let's see here. And let's not forget the financial component. Hollow bunnies are much cheaper to make than solid chocolate ones. But the origin of the famous chocolate bunny can be credited to one Robert L. Strohecker, who built a 5-foot chocolate rabbit to display in his Pennsylvania drugstore in 1890. The statue stirred up such an interest that sales of the chocolate bunny started heating up, building up to the Easter staple we know today. Isn't that crazy? There's been two traditions on here that are from Pennsylvania. Yeah, you go. So I didn't really think, and I guess that guy's a German too. So I guess the origins of all the chocolates and stuff like that came from Germany in the 80s. That's pretty interesting, I think. What's your guys' opinion about Pennsylvania being like in the forefront of all these things in Pennsylvania coming starting with Easter? I think it's kind of interesting myself. Okay. Scranton, Pennsylvania. Hey, Foxy's from Scranton. I'm from Pittsburgh. So I don't know. I haven't been out to Scranton. Maybe I have in my travels or what, but maybe one day when I'll take a ride out to Scranton and see what you all got out there. This one here, it says historians aren't sure where the word Easter comes from, but there are a few top contenders. Okay. You've likely heard the theory that when Christianity started becoming popular, they decided that their holidays were going to take place the same times that the established pagan holidays were already celebrated. I did not know that. I did not know that. Let me repeat that. They decided that their holidays were going to take place the same times that the established pagan holidays were already celebrated. Now, you know, I read something and I know I'm going to get this wrong, but Easter actually is the first Monday after the full moon, something like that. Sunday is after a full moon of some sort. I really wish I would have wrote that down. But, you know, I kind of forget it. But it is a pagan tradition. But however, others believe that the Christians didn't want anything to do with the pagans. In that case, Easter likely originated from the Latin phrase alba, which means dawn. Alba turned into an Esterum in the old High German, which eventually turned into what we call a holiday today. Isn't it crazy? Even back then, people, why do people have these fear of God? What? I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, for the longest time, they were doing it this one certain way, calling it this way, and damn, some people didn't like it. But this is a show, and I am open-minded to everybody's beliefs, and so I will keep my opinions to myself. Oh, here's a good one, everybody. And number 8. Foxy Joe's been to Pittsburgh once. 7-hour ride in my little pickup. Did you enjoy Pittsburgh? Foxy goes, not to change the subject, but what about all the hoopla over the April the 8th eclipse this year? Well, you know what, Fox? I don't know if there's a lot of conspiracy theories about that. One is that the military is going to shoot 3 rockets up into the sun, see what happens. Like Michael Anthony said earlier, they're trying to make it biblical, because the way the thing is going to go, it crosses a certain area. The last time it happened. And people think that there's going to be an attack, a biological attack, some kind of attack on us. They claim that everybody in the world, a lot of people are going to be watching this eclipse, so they're going to unleash some kind of things. I don't believe any of that is going to happen, but you know what? The way this world is today, I won't know until the shit happens. You know what I mean, buddy? I don't know. I pray nothing happens. I mean, come on, that situation down in Baltimore, but that boat hitting the damn bridge, bringing it down. Now, I tell you what, and I'm just going to leave this for thought, and I'm going to move on. Okay, if you really, really, really look at that video, okay, there was actually explosions on that bridge, because the way the ship hit that bridge, there's no way it came down that quick, that fast. So you have to kind of look at it and, you know, and just see, really look at the top left, and you see all these little explosions on the bridge. And I'm not going to go anymore on that. But so I'm definitely going to go up to Scranton. I'm going to visit my friend Foxy Joe, you know, and we're going to do it. Now, think about it, guys. April 8th, so the night before my show. So, and it's supposed to happen in the morning or something. So if I'm on the next day, then I guess nothing happened, really. You know what I mean? It's just like, Foxy, check it out, dude. Check it out. You see the little explosions going on. But, so if I'm here Tuesday on the 9th, that reminds me, April 9th, I'm going to have my friend Daniel James, and he filmed a little YouTube video, and you can find it. It's on YouTube. It is called The Bermuda Triangle of Pennsylvania. Seriously, you got to check it out. It'll blow you away. It's called The Bermuda Triangle of Pennsylvania. And I saw it, and it's really, really interesting. And I'm going to have him on the 9th of April, and we're going to talk about it. So I'm kind of, let me type it in for everybody here. So y'all can see. I lost something. Oh, I can't. Oh, one of the comments. I did something wrong here. Here we go. All right. Hold on 1 second. The Bermuda Triangle of Pennsylvania. Uh Okay, so I'm putting it in the chat room, guys. And so you need to go on YouTube and seriously check it out. It's a really interesting show. But we're getting kind of close to the finishing of this list on the Easter stuff. So did you know Easter lilies represent rebirth? And the flowers that were growing where Jesus was arrested. And it says, flowers of any kind are common at Easter celebration. Easter does symbolize rebirth and marks the unofficial beginning to spring. So it makes sense. And that's true. It makes sense. But there is a specific flower, Easter lilies, that are the most commonly associated with the holiday. This is because it's believed that the lilies were planted at the Garden of Gethsemane, the location where Jesus was initially arrested. The Easter lily is, in fact, its only type of lily, and it typically blooms with a white or pink flower. Now, see, I heard about these Easter lilies and how it was like the main flower of Easter, but I didn't know that they grew where Jesus got arrested. So as I am reading this to everybody tonight, I'm learning something new. I don't know, this is... There's more to Easter than chocolate candies and dressing up with and the girls wearing bonnets and going to church. You know, this is like all brand new to me. And it's kind of amazing, you know. Now, I don't know how people are going to feel about this. This is not me. This is part of the list from Ranker.com. If you have a problem with Ranker, you know, send them an email and complain about it. The Bible contradicts itself about when Jesus was crucified. Okay. Ooh, this is a long lottery. The main reason there are discrepancies regarding the crucifixion of Jesus is because the story is told from four different people, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you all know how I feel about the Bible. I personally think it needs to be rewritten, but that's me. That's my own saying. But there's just too much to read. But you know, it says what they're trying to say is in the New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay, and they all came up with different types of ideas how, you know, when Jesus was executed, you know. So I really don't really want to get into that because it's a religious, but if you caught me on a religion program, yeah, definitely I will definitely, you know, share my experiences with how I feel about it. Okay. All right, here, the date of Easter caused a schism between the Eastern and Western churches. Foxy Joe said, had to watch the History Channel all day today about Jesus and the crucifix. It's on. And I don't know. People can have conspiracies about that, dude. And I believe what was taught to me at an early age, I should have just thrown out the door and try to figure it out myself. Or read up on it or watch YouTube. In fact, to be honest with you guys, Foxy, when it came to the Bible, I used to watch the History Channel, and they had theologians, they had people who studied the Bible, they had priests who were really big into the Bible, and there was a lot of people had different things to say about that Bible, you know. So I did my own exploring and I did my own research on it, and it's amazing, but I'm not going to get into it right now. Okay, I got about 15 minutes left of the show here, but actually about 10. But the date to observe Easter was such a hotly debated topic that there's an official name for the conflict it created within Christianity, the Paschal controversies. I didn't know that. There were two different views. In modern-day Turkey, Christians followed the same calendar as the Jews did for Passover, celebrating Jesus' crucifixion on the 14th day of the first full moon of spring. The resurrection was then observed 2 days later, regardless of the day of the week. This is important. In the West, they didn't celebrate Jesus' resurrection until the first day of the week, Sunday. So Easter was celebrated on the first Sunday, here it is, following the 14th day of the first full moon of spring. And that's what I tried to tell you guys earlier, but I couldn't figure it out. So you have to fight over, you know, when the day was and how. It's just like, it's really amazing. Okay, and so all my people who are in the chat room left because I was talking religious. Sorry about that, guys, but I just had to bring it up. Okay, and this is a story about the Easter bonnets. Okay. The Easter bonnets were originally a way for the rich to show off their wealth. Easter bonnets are one of those purchases that collect dust in our closets all year long until that one special Sunday. Then on Easter day, everyone dresses to the nines wearing their pastel Sunday best along with the ornate head coverings. Or at least this is the case for some families. This tradition of looking one's best on Easter Sunday can stem back to the first Easter following the Civil War in New York. I did not know that. Families wanted to celebrate, so they wore light colors and carried flowers to signify renewing of life and created a parade of sorts. After this, the high social tier would continue to do this, going to church Sunday morning and then parading down Fifth Avenue in their Easter outfits, hats, and bonnets, showing of what they were able to afford to wear. That's craziness. That's craziness. And all these years, I thought it was, I never knew or understood about the Easter bonnets. But now I do. And there's something else I had to kind of learn today. But you know what? Some of the bonnets out there are looking good. I mean, they're really nice. They're really pretty. And I'm sure they paid a pretty penny for it. But if it's what you want to do, and if it's what the girls and ladies wanted to do, then you know what? Then go for it. Who's stopping you? You know? But it was kind of interesting. I did not know that the first Easter Sunday, was the Easter following the Civil War in New York, and they paraded it. They paraded their stuff back then. To prove what? That they're rich and this is what they can afford. Okay. Hey, I was lucky. I was lucky that I got a nice suit jacket and a tie for it. You know what I mean? But that's okay. Back when I was growing up, times were fun. They were a lot of fun. We're getting close to the end of this list. Okay, and number 12, the list is over with, guys. Feasting on Easter lamb evolved from the sacrificial practice. Like I said, if you have a problem with these, please email Ranker and tell them that you heard it on my show Into the Night, the list, and if you have a problem with it, tell them. Okay, lamb is tied to Easter for several reasons. Jesus was known as the Lamb of God. Lamb was a common meat served at pagan celebrations. But the darker connection comes from the beginnings of what is known as Passover today in Judaism. The story of Exodus describes a plague that was haunting the Egyptian people, which caused the death of their firstborn sons. To ask that God pass over their homes, Jewish households would paint their doorsteps with the blood of the sacrificed lambs. Then the Jews who converted to Christianity kept up the practice of eating lamb for their Easter meal. And you know what? There's another thing. And boy, did my people like drop out of the chat room for this one. Oh, yeah. Yes. Foxy Joe, they did that. But everybody, this was my list for tonight. Okay, I did a little ranting, I did a little raving. You know, do I need to say that everybody should be careful? You should. There's not a lot of nice people out there in today's world. And we really need to protect ourselves. We really need to protect the children too, you know. I mean, with one accident with that boat hitting that bridge, you know, was like a cover up for a couple other things up there. Now, you know, that stuff happening with P. Diddy and all this stuff. And what's this world coming to, everybody? What's this world coming to? I think it's going to shit, to be honest with you. Okay. And what can we do about it? We can talk about it. We can actually voice our opinions. Now, if they actually want to listen to our opinions, fine, they can. But they won't do nothing about it. And all we could just see and see in front of our eyes how everything is just collapsing around us. So, what can we do? We can, you know, protect ourselves, protect our families, protect our children is what we need to do. Okay? And life will, who knows what life will be. But this madness that's going out there in the world today. I just have one word for all the people who are starting this shit. I call it karma. And karma's going to come. You know, April 8th. Is there a biblical thing going on with it? They're trying to make it. But here's one thing before I close out tonight. What really, really got me mad. In New York, they had that fallen police officer there. God bless your soul, dude. God bless you. Thank you for protecting the community. Now, there were four. There's a president and three other ex-presidents there. And the three were at Radio Hall doing a $25 million fundraiser for Joe Biden. Then Donald Trump came in and he went to see the family of the fallen police officer. Okay. And the other three never went and visited. That sucks. That really, really sucks. But it just goes to show you who's the better person. Well, thank you for sitting in on the show, watching the show tonight. There was a lot of nice things said in the chat room. I know it's probably getting boring, you guys, with these traditions of Easter, but I'm gonna, you know, just thank you for being here. Remember, April 2nd, I am going to have Roy White and Mark Duda, the owner of the farm, in which we're going to have that open investigation on April 6th. Starts at 8 o'clock. The address is 157 Creek Road, 15417. And you're welcome, Foxy Joe. Thank you for coming in here. And I hope to see everybody there. I really do. It'd be nice, especially for people who never experienced a paranormal investigation. Now's your chance to experience it. Children, if you can, please, please go to your parents and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And parents, please go to your children, give them a hug and tell them that you love them. If you don't have no parents, if you have no children, find somebody to give them a hug. and tell you them that you love them, because those three words, I love you, go a long way. And on that night, good night, happy Easter, everybody. Don't forget, through a glass darkly radio show with my friend Sean Patrick Hazlett. Happy Easter, good night, and see you Tuesday.